Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Amen. Good. You know, we've been going through this series on our home, our nest, and we've been talking about marriage and family and parenting and like such good stuff. Because we want to grow, like God really, really cares about family. God really cares about that. He wants to give us wisdom for walking out our lives, and it's so good. And sometimes what can happen in the church is that in our focus on like marriage and our focus on family, which is a good thing to focus on, there's another group that can almost get forgotten, but that actually biblically matters just as much. Now I'm talking to my singles who are here this morning. That God, his heart is for you. That God sees you and that God loves you and he cares about you. And I understand this morning that I'm doing something that's a little bit like classic cringe. I'm the married pastor talking to singles, but at the same time, I got some serious single street cred. Because I got married at 43. I spent 25 years as an adult single. Like, man, like married people get their silver anniversary. I should have had my single silver anniversary and nobody threw me a party. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. So like I know what it's like to walk that journey of singleness. And here's the reality is that so many of the people that we see in scripture who had impact were actually singles. Like I think about Jeremiah the prophet. I think about Daniel in the Old Testament. I think about John the Baptist. I think about Paul the Apostle. I think about Anna in the New Testament, who was widowed and then spent most of her life as a single woman, as a single widow, devoting herself to the Lord. I think about Mary of Bethany, who in the Bible, as a single woman in the New Testament, gives one of the greatest demonstrations of love to Jesus that we see in the whole New Testament. And then I think about Jesus himself as a single. And one of the things that we find out when we read through scripture is that the Bible has a lot to say about people who are single. And then one of the big things that it says is that single people aren't half people waiting to be made whole. But that actually they have a purpose, that they have a calling, and that the Lord's heart is for them. And so this morning, that's something we want to dive into as a church. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but our society, like, we don't actually celebrate singles. And especially if you're married, maybe you don't think about this much, but think about what we do for couples. Valentine's Day. And then we have like, you know, bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, we have engagement photo shoots, we have wedding days, we have anniversaries that we celebrate, we have Mother's Day and Father's Day that we celebrate, we have all these different things that we celebrate. But if you're single, happy birthday? Like, ever thought about that? And so if you're single, like, you kind of got to sit through all those things. And if you want to be celebrated, you have to wait till you get married to be celebrated. And so single people, like, they go to all their friends' weddings, and they smile through it. They sit through Mother's Day and Father's Day services at church, smile through it. Valentine's Day, they just, like, you know, soldier through it, all of that stuff. But the way our culture is set up, it almost sends this message that single people aren't whole. That you're not fully valid as a person until you're married. And when we look at scripture, nothing could be further from the biblical truth. And here's one of the issues that we have, I think, even in the church, is that there's something missing from our theology of marriage and singleness. And it's this: we have no theology of singleness. Like, and I've heard so many times where, like, well, hey, we'll pray for married couples that the Lord would bless them and give them wisdom and guide them as they raise their family, that he would guide and direct them. And then when it comes to praying for singles, it's like, Lord, would you please help them find a spouse? Amen. And it's sending the not so subtle message that you're not whole until you're married. And it's not what the Bible teaches. This morning, we want to celebrate singles. We want to celebrate what Scripture says about them, about the calling and the purpose that can be found in walking out the single life. And I love marriage. Like, I'm married now, been married for just over 3 years. It's awesome. It's great. We celebrate that. But I want to celebrate singles too, because they matter every bit as much. And if you're single, you matter every bit as much in the kingdom of God, and you matter every bit as much in this church family. And I just want you to hear that. I just want you to know that, because I just think it's so important. You know, the Bible makes it clear that being married is not the ultimate goal when it comes to the Christian life. And having kids isn't the ultimate goal. Jesus is the goal. Knowing him. Like, really knowing him, like the risen Jesus who's alive, who lives inside of our hearts, who speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. Knowing him is a goal, and walking in obedience to him is the goal. And sometimes what we've done in our culture is we've taken a really, really good thing, which is marriage and family. It's a really good thing. It's a gift from God. It's awesome. But we've raised it to the level of an idol where it becomes the most important thing. And I've watched as people have married right out of the calling God has on their life because they felt this pressure, I have to get married. And maybe this person is, you know, maybe they got sin issues in their life, maybe they're not really walking with the Lord, maybe they're not really the right person to marry, but man, I'm single, I gotta get married. And I've watched that pressure drive people right into these marriages because actually the goal wasn't Jesus, the goal was to be married and have kids. Anything we put before Jesus in our lives is an idol. Marriage isn't the goal, Jesus is. And I don't know how many times I had to come back to that reality in my own journey. Because when I was 21 years old, I had dreams for my life. And anyone who's like in their, you know, you hit probably even later 20s, in your 30s and 40s and 50s, and you think back to your dreams for your life when you're in your 20s, you kind of just kind of smile and go, good thing I didn't know. Because when I was in my early 20s, I remember being like 20 and thinking, oh, I'm going to get married by 27. And then I hit 30 and it's like, huh. Well, you know, I'm looking for good biblical stuff, right? It's like, oh, Jesus started his earthly ministry when he was 30. And John the Baptist at 30 started his ministry. And oh yeah, Joseph, like, he got out of prison when he was 30. So like, my 30s are going to be the best for sure, you know? And then I hit 40 and I'm like, oh God, like, Lord. Except I wasn't laughing when I was saying it, because there was deep hurt and pain in my heart. Like, God, I'm trying to follow you. God, I've sat through all of my best friends' weddings, seen all my buddies have kids. God, I'm trying to follow you. I'm trying to give my life to serve you. I've made sacrifices for you. What's going on? And I was forced to wrestle in my own journey with this reality over and over and over again. When I said yes to following Jesus, what did I sign up for? Because I think so often what we're actually signing up for in our head when we're signing up to follow Jesus is like, there's this idea that, well, if I follow Jesus, he's gonna give me all the things that I want. So I'm gonna follow Jesus, here's the deal, I'm gonna follow Jesus and he's gonna give me all the things that I want. Instead of like what the Bible talks about, where Jesus in Luke 9:23 said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Right? Because the call to follow Jesus is this call that Jesus gave everything for you. And now out of love and thanksgiving for what he's done, we want to give everything back to him. We want to live our whole lives for him. But I was forced to wrestle with that reality. And I was forced to wrestle with what it looks like to live in a culture where marriage is put as first place in terms of importance, even sometimes above following God, and actually walk through that struggle. And it wasn't easy. The reality is that if being married and having a family is the goal of life, then Jesus failed, because he never got married. The Apostle Paul, who wrote like almost half the books in the New Testament, he failed too. John the Baptist, also failure. Jesus is the goal. and my heart's desires for every single person here. And I realize there's so many different stories for those who are single here today. Some of you, you're single and like, cool, like I'm fine being single. Some of you are single and thinking like, oh, I really want to get married. Some of you, you've walked through separation or divorce. Some of you, you've lost a spouse to death. And it's just like, we're all at different places. And I know it's hard to speak to all of those things. But my heart's desire is that, man, anyone who's here who'd be like, God, I really, really want to get married, that the Lord, he would provide for you in that way. But also my heart's desire is to speak life and truth into you right now, that right now as a single person, you matter, you have value, you have calling, and you have purpose. And the Lord is with you in the midst of this season. So there's three points I want to try making in 11 minutes, so pray for me. Otherwise, we're going to have a horrible time in the parking lot afterwards. The first is this. You are made whole and complete in Christ and Christ alone. You don't need anyone in your life to make you complete. Jesus has already made you complete. Secondly, as a single person, you can walk out your calling and live a life of fulfillment and purpose and impact right now. You don't need to wait till some future day when you're married. And thirdly, God has given us a gift of community to help us walk out this journey in a healthy way. So firstly, you are made whole and complete in Christ and Christ alone. In Colossians 2 verse 9 to 10a, it says, "For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." And deity is just another way of saying God. All the fullness of God lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. You know, sometimes we have this idea of like, and I remember being at a wedding like years ago. One of my friends got married, and I think he had watched too many sappy romance movies. And so he was saying to his bride, "You complete me." And it was, you know, so it was great, but also kind of cheesy. But there's this idea that we're not complete until we're married. And the Bible actually says, no, you've been made complete in Christ. And marriage isn't the joining of two halves. It's actually the joining of two wholes, because you are whole and complete in Christ. And so I just want to say, if you're single right now, you are whole and complete in him. And you're fully loved and you're fully valued. You have a calling, you have a purpose as you are right now. And I just think that's important to say from the front of a church. Because in our culture, there can be this pressure to get married. Like I've, and if we're going to be honest, some of us have put that pressure on other people. Because I've talked to people who are like 20 or 21 and thinking like, oh, my whole life is passing by. I'm never going to get married. And it's like, who gave you that idea? Who put that pressure on you? Because our calling is to Jesus first and foremost. And it's to walk in his ways. We're full and complete in him. Hey, and if you've ever, I just want to say this lovingly, if you've ever been, whether that nagging parent or aunt or friend or grandparent saying, hey, when are you going to get married? Please, 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 please don't do that. Because those are the kind of things that can actually pressure people into unhealthy marriages. We want people to encounter Jesus and grow and entrust in the Lord to bring that person into their life at the right time. But sometimes we can unknowingly put real pressure on people that they were never designed to actually feel. You know, Paul talks a little bit about singleness in 1 Corinthians 7. And he's talking to the church of Corinth, and he's talking about singleness, and he says this, "I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that." And Paul talks about being single as a gift. And boy, I just got to tell you, I didn't feel like my singleness was a gift from God. I actually had some guy come up to me once when I was around 40 and said, "Do you think you have the gift of singleness maybe?" By the way, never say that to a single person. Just please don't. I just said like, well, if it's a gift, it sure doesn't feel like one. But Paul actually understood that there were things in his life that were to his advantage of a single. And he says more in 1 Corinthians 7, 32 to 35. He says, "I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Interesting. Paul's saying there's advantages in being single. The focus you can have on the Lord. I've seen this in my own life. Like I know the disadvantages of being single, but I've also seen the open doors, the opportunities to serve, the opportunities to minister. In my own life, the opportunities to travel and speak and teach that if I was married, frankly, I would have had to say no to a bunch of them because I didn't just want to leave my wife and kids at home all the time. And so there's this advantage that Paul sees. He's saying, I wish you could all be like me, to be a single person just living in wholehearted devotion to the Lord. It's interesting, I was reading this book on marriage, and it was talking about how marriage is like and he's right, it's this incredible gift of God, but he took it too far. It's like, this is the most important thing we can possibly have to grow in our relationship with God. We gotta be married, because that's really gonna help us grow in our relationship with God. I'm like, boy, then Jesus must have had a real disadvantage in his life. And Paul actually points to some of those advantages of being single. And the opportunities to serve and walk in obedience to the Lord. I'm gonna rush ahead a little bit into my next point, just again for sake of time. As a single person, you can walk out your calling and live a fulfilling life of purpose and impact now, so don't wait. And I've seen like so many people who, along their journey, they're like, there's things I want to do. There's things I want to do for God. I'm just going to wait to get married, and then I'm going to go off and do them. And there's almost like this underlying thing that we have sometimes in our heart. And this lie is that if I'm out serving God, I'm never going to meet the person I'm supposed to meet. That's not how God works. Can you imagine God up in heaven saying, hey, I had a spouse for you, but you were too busy serving me, so I guess you're not going to get married now. Like, when you break it down, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, no, just be obedient in what he has for you right now. By the way, this idea of just following and being obedient to God right now, I just want to say, like, this is for all of us, because sometimes we're always waiting for the next season to be obedient to God. Like, often they say when they're expecting a baby, this is often when people start to take their faith in God seriously for the first time. Or maybe you're thinking, hey, when my kids finally move out of home, then I'm gonna have more time to be with God and go after God. And we're always waiting for the next season to throw in everything for God. And I would say, don't wait, just do it right now. You know, the reason that me and Julie connected is because me as a single man, I was spending my time trying to serve and minister. And Julie, as a single woman with a teaching career, was at the same time in her own church, had been serving faithfully for years in the youth ministry. And often when she would have like spring break, which is a time for teachers to try to regain some bit of sanity into their lives, instead of trying to regain her sanity, she would jump in on missions trips with the youth group and be serving during that time as well. So she's like, you know, she's wanting to get married, I'm wanting to get married, but at the same time, we're actually serving in church. We're being obedient to the call of God on our lives. And then one day I get this call and an invitation to speak at their youth group. And as I'm there like speaking, I see this youth leader who is like a smile that lights up the room, is like just spreading joy to the kids around her as she's ministering to them. And she's really, really pretty too. And I'm thinking, hey, anyone who's been serving this long, like in youth ministry, is either crazy, awesome, or probably a mixture of both. And what I was looking for was someone who was a mixture of both. And I found it. And the rest is history. But my encouragement is, don't wait till you're married to give your all to God. Do it right now. Just jump on into the things that the Lord has for you right now. Don't wait. And the reality is that serving at the same time as this enabled me to walk out my calling, serving was the way that I've built so many of the relationships I hold most dear to my heart. Like friends that I have because we've served in ministry together, people that I've met because I've been involved in ministry. You know, one of the best ways to get to know people, maybe if you're new to this church, you've been attending for a while, get involved serving somewhere. And You know, often I think about the past ministries I've been involved in. One of the coolest things has not just been the people we've ministered to, but getting to know the team we're doing it with, and relationships start to get built. And it's so good. Sometimes people are like, well, this church is so big. I just feel like I'm a lost person in the midst of the sea. And you probably will feel that way unless you serve. You jump in on a life group as well. And all of a sudden you start to build relationships. You start to see familiar faces. You start to feel community. Serving is so good for that. And this ties in with my final point, that God has given us the gift of community to help us walk the journey in a healthy and fulfilling way. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I just want to say community is so important. And if you're single, plug in. But I want to actually switch gears for a minute and talk to the married folk who are here, because one of the things that was so helpful to me in my journey as a single man was, along the way, my buddies who all somehow got married before me, even though I'm way cooler than them, I'm gonna hang out with them this afternoon. I'm gonna tell them that I said that too. So much cooler than all of them. Anyway, when after they got married, they would still have me over as a single friend. They didn't just hang out with couple friends. They would have me over and we'd hang out. Their wives would just treat me like a friend. And it just felt so cool, because I have these cool relationships with my buddies and their wives. And then the wives would also be like super understanding and just let their husband go and hang out with me and go do guy stuff, you know? Just important things like watching sports or, I don't know, whatever, just being dudes. And it was so cool, because I was made to feel like I mattered. And sometimes when singles are hanging out with married people, it can actually be hard, because you're sitting around having a conversation and the married people start getting into conversations and they start talking about their kids, and then it moves on to their kids' sports teams, and then it moves on to their kids' schooling, and it's all about kids, and the single people are sitting back there kind of going like, okay, I guess I have nothing to give. And so you sit through a 30-minute conversation and you say nothing, because none of it's about you. I just want you to know, if you're married, your single friends care about all that stuff in your life. Like, they want to hear about it. They really care about it, but they also want to know that you care about them and their life. So ask them about their life. Ask them about their work. Ask them about what's going on in their own situations. If you're in a group setting and there's a single person there and you notice the conversation is all just talking about married people stuff, like, shift the conversation a little bit. We so often forget what that journey is like. Again, there's not a single person here who wants your sympathy. They don't want your sympathy. I say we because I was single for so long. I'm not single anymore. I'm married. My wife's right over there. But they do want your love. And they do want your respect. And they do want to feel like they matter in their journey. I'm going to wrap things up here, but I just want to speak two things kind of in closing this morning. And so the first, again, is to the married people. We want to be a church that loves singles well. We want to be a church who understands that singleness is not like a handicap. We want to be a church who values and honors and loves the singles in our midst. We want to walk with them through every journey of their life, understanding, as I said earlier, that the stories are so different from one single person to the next. But we want them to feel a part of this family. And to the singles who are here today, I just want to tell you again that every single one of you, you are loved. You are welcomed in this place. You're such an important part of this family, and we're just thankful that you're here.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.